So our sermon this morning picks up from the reading that we heard earlier. This is Acts chapter 8, verses 30 through 39. So Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the eunuch reading the gospel, the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Thank you, God, for this word, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight today, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, we're wrapping up the first four arms of the Zia symbol for this ongoing sermon series. Remember, the Zia Pueblo people, hold the Zia symbol sacred. They see it as a portrait of life revolving around the sun, with everything connected and everything in sync, gathered around a never-ending circle. We have found intriguing similarities between the Zia symbol and our own walk of faith on Christ's path of righteousness. We have examined the East, a place of mystery and wisdom. We have visited the North, a place of exile and redemption. We've looked to the West, a place of freedom and warning. And now we head South. In Zia lore, the South represents kindness. And isn't that appropriate? Think of Southern hospitality. And today's story in Acts is all about hospitality, welcome, acceptance. On the road to Gaza, an inquiring eunuch and a discerning disciple meet. Philip had been chosen to serve as a deacon for the newly established church, and he proved his prowess as an effective evangelist when he went to Samaria, a land that could be hostile to the followers of Jesus. He had great success in bringing the message of the gospel there. He exorcised demons from people and healed many who were lame or paralyzed. In the middle of this important work, the Holy Spirit tapped Philip on the shoulder and told him to go south to get on the road that led to Gaza. The Spirit did not tell him why, and Philip did not ask any questions. He started right out on the road that led to Gaza, just as he was told. It was a barren desert road, not full of traffic like I-25 or I-40 would be. Philip might have wondered why the Spirit had sent him there, but he trusted he would receive an answer of peace. He saw a carriage, not a chariot like we picture from Ben-Hur, and in it sat a man reading out loud. Again, the Spirit spoke up and told Philip to approach the vehicle. Maybe Philip felt a little intimidated by the richness of the carriage and the important aura around its occupant, but he trusted the Spirit. This was the person he had to approach and talk to. He asked the eunuch if he understood what he was reading. I have to pause a little bit right there in awe. They understood each other. Philip, a Greek, and this eunuch, an Ethiopian, they understood each other and could communicate. Perhaps they both spoke Aramaic, the common language of that time. But wouldn't it be a wonderful miracle if they each spoke in their native tongue and yet they knew what each other was saying? A miracle like that isn't far from the power of the Holy Spirit. So when Philip asked his question, the eunuch honestly answered, "No, I need someone to explain it to me." And he invited Philip to join him in the carriage. Well, there you go. Southern hospitality at its best. Come on over here and set a spell with me. Did the eunuch offer Philip a glass of cold, sweet tea? These two dissimilar men paused a moment to unite their heads and their hearts over the message about the Messiah in Isaiah's prophecy. It's Isaiah 53, 7 through 8. Philip was the answer to the Ethiopian's unspoken prayer. Undoubtedly, as he read and puzzled over the prophecy, he kept thinking, as sometimes we all do when we're reading the Bible, I wish someone would explain this to me. The Holy Spirit heard his prayer and sent Philip to help him. How long they talked and how long they traveled, we don't know, but in the course of their journey, the eunuch came to know that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the one Isaiah was speaking about in his book. He learned that Jesus offered forgiveness and salvation to all who called on his name. He still does. The Ethiopian was convinced and convicted, and he wanted to take the first step on a new journey, a journey of faith. It just so happened at that moment of conviction and clarity that they came upon a rarity in the desert, a pool of water, a certain water in the desert way. Philip had most likely told his traveling companion about the rite of baptism, how it was an outward sign of an inward change, how when you go into and under the water, you are buried with Christ and raised again in newness of life. Just as Philip did not hesitate to obey the behest of the Holy Spirit, so the eunuch did not hesitate to obey the behest of Christ to show the change Jesus had created in him. What's to prevent me from being baptized right here, right now? Our Bibles don't have verse 37. Go ahead, pick up the Pew Bible and check, where Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And the eunuch replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. These verses are not in the oldest manuscripts of Acts. Scholars believe some later author inserted them. They're a wonderful addition, a powerful confession of faith. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. As Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading to salvation. Again, there was no hesitation on the eunuch's part. Baptize me right here, right now. Nothing else was required for baptism, not being intact, not being not black, not being not Gentile, just being willing to love and follow the Lord. And Philip gladly baptized him, and then he disappeared. Where did he go? The Spirit needed him someplace else since he had fulfilled this particular mission so well. Philip had shown he was trustworthy and open to all kinds of assignments if they would lead some lost soul to Jesus. There are so many deeper implications in this very nice story we need to examine. When the eunuch asked, what's to prevent me from being baptized? Philip could have said Deuteronomy 23:1. One translation of this verse reads, if a man's private parts have been crushed or cut off, he cannot fully belong to the Lord's people. Philip could have rightfully and righteously said, you're deformed and emasculated. There's no room in God's kingdom for people like you. You can't fully belong. Scripture says so. But instead of shunning this seeking man, Philip showed him the way to know God even better than he already did, to know him through Jesus Christ. The eunuch had traveled all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God. He was serious about his walk of faith. Perhaps when he went to the temple, he was pushed aside or wasn't even allowed in because of his ethnic status as a Gentile and a foreigner, and also because of his physical status. God knows that wasn't his fault. None of that was his fault. Being a eunuch had been done to him by someone else. In those days, men who guarded harems were made into eunuchs so there would be no hanky-panky between him and his female charges. Notwithstanding that some scholars say eunuch is also used as a simple title like court officer for men in different positions in Oriental kingdoms. This man was in charge of the Queen of Ethiopia's treasury. However, I'm using the word as it is generally translated. The Holy Spirit, of course, knew everything about this eunuch, and yet the Spirit sent Philip to him, not to berate or disregard or dispel him, but to welcome him and enhance and encourage his understanding. He needed Jesus just as much as anyone else did. If Philip was not supposed to welcome him or baptize him or accept him, the Spirit would certainly have told him so. But the Spirit specifically led Philip to him. And with Philip's help, the man's eyes were opened to the truth and the promise of the gospel. He was not shunned. He was not ridiculed. He was not judged. He was acceptance. In direct defiance of the old scripture that excluded him, the eunuch received mercy and welcome. It reminds us of the promise elsewhere in Isaiah, in chapter 56, verses 3 and 4. Do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. There was hope for this man, a deformed foreigner, someone who previously would not have been allowed into God's presence and God's kingdom. But now, through Jesus, there was hope for him and for others like him. We have learned that God accepts even those we think are not acceptable. We have been shown that the new life in Christ eradicates all the old notions of who's in and who's out. This man made the same confession of faith that we made at our baptisms. He has found the same Lord and Savior that we have found, so who are we to turn him or others like him away? We have other lessons to learn from this scripture. The main one is listen to the Spirit. Obey the Spirit right away when you are told to go somewhere or do something, even if you think it's not a place you want to go to, or something you don't want to do, or someone you don't want to interact with. Trust that the Spirit will take you right to where you need to be and show you who you need to see. Philip was trustworthy. Philip was willing. He could have protested, but Spirit, I'm doing such great things right here in Samaria, thanks to you. I need to stay here. But the Spirit said, there's even greater things I want you to do in the south for me, Philip. Things that will have an even greater impact in the years to come. What you do here on this road going south today, Philip, will bring healing and hope to others who, like this man, are in danger of being ostracized and pushed aside and not invited into the fullness of God's kingdom. You're going to show other believers and followers on down the road that there is a place for everyone, everyone in God's realm, no matter what has been done to them, no matter where they come from, no matter what others may think of them, no matter how others may judge them. Those who truly seek God will surely find God. It's not lost on me that Gaza is mentioned here. The Spirit took me to this scripture as surely as the Spirit took Philip to the eunuch. The Spirit has sent us to a long desert road in Gaza. On that same road today, there are other exiles searching for peace and explanation and help and hope. This same road today is lined with refugees fleeing the horror of a war that seeks to expel and export the marginalized, ostracized people living there. My prayer is for some Philip to come to them and say, there is hope, there is refuge, there will be an end to war, and there is a way to comfort and salvation. Isaiah 42:16 says, I will lead the blind by a road they do not know. By paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. Here I am, Lord, send me. Philip took the road less traveled, and that indeed made all the difference for the Ethiopian eunuch. Local legend has it that he was the one who started the Coptic Christian church in Ethiopia in fulfillment of her promise in Psalm 68:31. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. God wanted that Ethiopian, that marginalized, mutilated, maimed, ostracized man. Whether or not people accepted him, God accepted that man, and that's all that mattered. He was the queen's treasurer who found truer treasure in his time with Philip. And let's stop participating in this man's continuing oppression by calling him just the eunuch or the Ethiopian or this man. He had to have had a name. So I Googled Ethiopian names to find one suitable for him. We could call him Abdi, which means hope, or we could call him Addis, which means new. Amhara would be a suitable name for him. It means agreeable, gracious, describing how he treated Philip, his southern hospitality. How about we name him Danza, which means joyous, Danza the dancer. Or we could call him Dawit, which means beloved. Or perhaps of all, best of all, we can call him Wyndham, which means brother. All the names fit him. So let us welcome our hopeful, new, agreeable, gracious, beloved, joyous brother into the kingdom of God and all the others out there like him, waiting for us to bring them the message of acceptance and hope and love. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for divinely directing Philip to this man who sought the solace of God. And thank you, Jesus, for accepting him into your kingdom. We look forward to meeting him there. Now, God, now, Holy Spirit, divinely direct us. Send us to those who need to hear the message of love and hope and salvation found in Jesus. Help us reach out to those around us who feel marginalized and maimed and ostracized, and help us show them you are welcome. In the name of Christ, you are accepted in the love of God, and you are baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My soul.